Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivara with the University of Washington Firearm Injury and Policy Research Program. I'm here today interviewing Dr. Keith Hollinar, who is a fellow in the Department of Psychiatry and is with the Firearm Injury and Policy Research Program here at the University of Washington. Hey, Keith, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, Fred. I'm looking forward to our chat.
We're going to talk about the conference that was held here in December on firearm injuries. It was part of the conference sponsored by the Society for the Prevention, for the Research and the Prevention of Firearm-Related Harms. It was a terrific conference with 800 attendees. And so, Keith, what were there one or two talks at the conference that really stood out to you?
Yeah, of course. I went to a lot of them. I was there kind of like from beginning to end. Like even for like, you know, the little meals in between talking with people. And I think the ones that stood out the most were there was a presentation on school lockdowns and school lockdown drills, very, very specifically. It was done by Sarah Stillwell over at the University of Michigan. And that one actually led to like a collaboration, where I talked to Sarah afterwards,
Fantastic.
because what the whole presentation was about is about how, you know, what people's attitudes are to these required lockdowns. And states across the US, you know, they have a lot of them have statutes requiring schools to do lockdown drills, and they vary in what they require, and some do active shooter drills. And while I think a lot the presentation was spoke to like people think this is important to do, and it doesn't induce as much anxiety as people think. People still, like, I think it was like roughly half they found still feel unprepared for like a real lockdown event to occur. So it just got me thinking. I talked to Sarah afterwards, and we're writing papers on school safety now, but got to thinking like, well, what do we need to do across the U.S. to sort of get into schools and examine sort of like what are the problems school districts and school buildings are experiencing trying to do these lockdown drills? And, you know, are there things we could be doing better with regard to not only like the potential trauma they introduce, because there is trauma, you know, even though people think, you know, a lot of the times it's no big deal, but also what could we be doing to help people prepare when a real lockdown events happen, that they're prepared to do it. That was a big thing. The second one that I really enjoyed, and that actually got me thinking just a lot, you know, even going beyond sort of my comfort zone and where my expertise is at, was you were at that presentation. It was the one on the safety score, examining the risk for firearm, which is a really nice four-item measure that's super predictive of whether people, you know, engage in firearm violence offending. And it was implemented in hospital settings. And I immediately thought, because of my work is, you know, as you know, is like really involved in schools, is like, and also in schools, I work with, you know, folks on positive behavioral intervention support systems. They do mental health screenings all the time. Screenings is a huge thing, so much so that states are passing policy to require screenings. And I wondered like, well, is such a screening appropriate or useful in school settings, especially those that are being impacted by firearm violence? You know, we've had pretty terrible events happen here in Seattle, for example, where firearm violence has like kind of taken kids' lives. And, you know, these schools are kind of struggling, you know, just is something useful? Is it something we should be exploring to do in schools? There's a lot of problems with that, you know, admittedly, I probably don't have time to go into, but that got me thinking. That was the second one that got me thinking. Yeah. You know, school stuff I'm always interested in. I'm trying to see how to expand this work to schools. And those are the two ones that sort of stuck out to me big time.
Well, they sound great. And it sounds like, you know, it's exactly what the conference should do, which is to stimulate ideas. What did you find most exciting about the conference?
Well, I'm just going to continue sort of like on that thought. You know, these conferences are supposed to stimulate ideas, and they're supposed to stimulate collaborations, and you meet people that you never met before. And I think there's like two forms of conferences that we know, at least in my head, right? There's these sort of discipline conferences like the American Society of Criminology, where my world's from. I'm a criminologist, right? And I've gone to that conference like every year. And then, you know, with those conferences, you go and you do criminology stuff, and there's various topics that you're always looking for your topic of interest. Like, where is the school stuff? I'm at a criminology conference. Where's the school stuff? You know, and you would get a small group of people in that room that you meet that you know is involved in that area. But the Firearm Violence Conference, what's so exciting, right, is it's a topic-oriented conference, right? And what's the best part about that is that you get people from across disciplines that are all focused on a topic that like jazzes them up, that gets them out of bed in the morning. So you know you're going to be talking with people who think like you, who are trying to tackle the same problems. And so as like a criminologist coming into this, and I've been doing this now for like 3 years in terms of getting really interdisciplinary, it's just cool to be able to talk to like a pediatrician like yourself and sometimes surgeons and then people over in public health, epidemiologists, criminal justice oriented folks who are like focused on policing, social workers, community folks. Like this is the best part about it. And they're all focused on the same topic and they all bring sort of different perspectives. And so the chats you have, the sort of ideas that are born at those conferences, I think are the most interesting. I think back in the past, like, man, I would never think I would be talking to these sort of people, in
Great.
this sort of space.
That's
Yeah.
great.
So that's the most exciting stuff.
And finally, we have this new society that I hope our listeners will join. What, as a soon to be junior faculty member, what do you think that the society can provide to people at your level of their careers?
I think they're already doing it, which is, I think, is super important. I mean, I guess this applies to all stages of faculty, because I think what stresses me out the most as a junior faculty member is like, how am I going to firmly establish my line of research that has a good foundation of funding, that I can see the future and I'm not worried about that, that my ideas have an outlet. And so I think what they did at this conference, which I hope they can do more of and expand further, they had a round table of funders. So like
Right.
the National Institute of Justice was there. The Joyce Foundation was there. I met people from every town for gun safety. And there's ones I'm missing, and I'm sorry if I'm,
NIH was
yeah.
there,
And I'm,
CDC was
yeah.
there.
So I didn't go to that table. I met the one of the tables I went to because you only had to choose certain
Right.
tables. And I feel a bit so sorry if I didn't mention anybody that was in that round table. That was like one of the most valuable things as an early career person, because I got to literally speak to the people who fund firearm violence research. And not only, because what you see on the documents about, RFPs or otherwise,
Right.
planned funding opportunities really is not the whole story. When you get to talking to them, they say, like, for example, one thing I learned very clearly that, like, oh, dissemination is becoming a really important thing. And you'd be surprised about how many applications we just reject because the dissemination plan is, we're going to publish in these journals and then go to these conferences.
Right.
As an early career faculty member, like now I'm thinking about applying for these things. I'm like, oh, I need to have like a real innovative or
Right.
impactful dissemination plan. And it's just meeting with these people is just trying to change your outlooks on like, oh, how am I going to fund my ideas to make an impact? And talking with these folks who essentially a lot of times drive where we go in
Right.
research in this area, it's invaluable. So that needs to be expanded a lot, and there needs to be more opportunities to do that.
Great.
That is like the one of the most valuable things I think I saw that needs to be expanded.
Great. Anything else, Keith?
I want to give a shout out to Sonali Rajan, who is the president of the conference and the team that did it. These people are so kind and clearly passionate about this work, and it shows in the quality of conference. And this conference is my favorite conference to go to. I look forward to it. And I hope there are a lot more, and this thing expands and gets to places where you probably never dream of. So I just hope it keeps going.
Well,
Yeah.
thanks very much for talking with me today. And thank you, podcast listeners, for listening to this podcast. And please look at our website to find other podcasts that we've done. Take care.
Take care.